Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Yeah, we might have to get that intro redone. We've got Brendan Delaney and Brad Bishop with us this morning, looking back on racing right around the country and plenty to look forward to later on today to the Stewards' Cup just after 7 o'clock at Sha Tin with a clash of Golden 60, Romantic Warrior and California Spangle. We'll have plenty of eyes on it. I know Matt Stewart will be keen to see that race. It's the race of the century, according to Matty. First of all, let's look back on racing around the country yesterday. So welcome Brendan Delaney into the show. Good morning to you, Brendan.
Good morning, Warren. Good morning. Oh, yeah, it's going to be one for the stays today, isn't it? 10 at Benalla, 8 at Geelong, roll it into Hong Kong, and a bit of Big Bash and tennis. We're in for the long haul this afternoon.
How'd you enjoy yesterday?
Good day's racing, wasn't it? Tremendous to see Jigsaw maintain that run. He had to tick that 1,200 metre box at a high level, and he was able to do that yesterday. So it was good to see in the show that Blake Shin put on, and the training efforts of Nick Ryan to the fore at the Valley yesterday.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing the votes, or one set of votes, for our Media Association Roy Higgins medal for yesterday at the Valley. And you can only put a rider in once, but I think Blake might have got 5, 4 and 3 if you're able to give them multiple votes. Welcome Brad Bishop into the program. Good morning, Brad. How'd you enjoy the races yesterday?
Yeah, good morning to you, Warren. I'll try not to influence the witness today. I remember a couple of weeks ago I was dishing out some Roy Higgins votes, so I'll refrain from that today. I'll leave it to you. But it was a good day's racing yesterday. We're really hotting up. There was a couple of group ones on yesterday, but things only get better sort of from a couple of weeks on when we got the All Stakes and then roll into the Lightning and group ones really roll around. Sydney's hotting up. Good to see a couple of the favoured runners for the Golden Slipper step out. There were a couple that might have announced themselves as contenders for those races, and that picture really takes shape over the next few weeks. So plenty to look forward to, and really looking forward to looking back on what we saw yesterday at the Valley.
We'll look back on those two-year-old races in Sydney, the Expressway Stakes, and touch on the Durbridge Stakes, which had a link to the Australia Stakes through the Jigsaw form line. Coming towards the end of this hour, kick off with a look back at the Australia Stakes and the dominant performance of Jigsaw, Daniel Moore aboard.
Then Western Empire and Superstorm up before the bend. Jigsaw at the 600 in front of Snapper. Churis had the drop. Calypso Rain about to be clicked up. Then Ironclad Western Empire Superstorm to the bend. Jigsaw a half in front. He's yet to come off the bit. On the outside, ridden along a little bit now as Snapper. Churis right behind them and travelling up. Then Calypso Rain and Western Empire from the back making ground. Churis comes to the outside as Jigsaw kicked away from Snapper. Snapper can't go on. Jigsaw the leader. Churis 2 lengths away. Calypso Rain running on. He's in front, Jigsaw. Runs 1,200. He'll run it on his ear. He screams away the last little bit. And that's a brilliant display of speed. Wins 2.5 to Churith.
Excited scenes there in the mounting yard to Cindy Alderson, Marcus Price, Michael Walker, part of the team. Terrific to see yesterday. How do you see this race, Brendan?
Very good win, dominant at the back end, but vital point of the race was probably running towards the 900 metre mark. Snapper was just about across Daniel Moore, kicking up on the fence on Jigsaw. Once he got his legs in there, it was hard for Snapper to cross him. And once Jigsaw, rounding that 800 turn, was able to get up underneath of Snapper and somewhat control it, Snapper overreacted for a stride or two. And we know he's a horse that likes to get it his own way. And when Jigsaw, you know, pushed up on the inside and took control and set things at his speed, Snapper was in a bit of hot water from that time on. And it looked as though Churath was going to be some sort of a danger to him at the top of the straight. We know she usually takes a run or two. She's done tremendously well. But the way Jigsaw kicked off the turn, 1,200 metres on firm ground, is going to be no issue for him. And it's going to be exciting to see what level they go to next. To William Reid or the like might be not too far out of his grasp at the moment, because he was terrific yesterday. Churath didn't have much luck fresh last preparation, then went to Geelong and won second up. You'd suspect she's not going to be far off second up next time in. She had the drop behind him. She was coming into that run without a jump out or a trial, but that's not too dissimilar from what we've seen of her previously. She's done a good job. Calypso Rain into third. He was under pressure, seemed to be chasing off a good speed, a fair way from home. He was at his top from about the 600, it looked like, and he was entitled probably not to finish as close as he had. I thought he was pretty brave the way he stuck onto the line. Snapper just needs it his own way for mine, for him to be competitive. And then the three up the back. Western Empire was okay. Ironclad had a big change around in distance from his last run there in Perth. It wasn't that long ago on Superstorm. It was always going to be a matter of if he could keep up with them at this 1,200 metres at this grade. So he was out the back. But all honours to Jigsaw. He's having a wonderful preparation. Cindy Alderson's doing a great job with him, and Daniel Moore's riding him really well.
Steve's a regular contributor via SMS, so I'll pose this question to both you guys, and it could be relevant when you're trying to work out how races are run. Morning team, similar greyhound racing, do you believe that some horses race better when they get an uncontested lead? Cases in point, Snapper and Bistro. Cheers, Steve. I'll start with you, Brendan. When you're looking at your form, if there's pressure in a race for a horse that's been leading and winning, is that something that you think might, you know, potentially play against a horse who's led and won previously?
Yeah, most definitely. We've seen that with Snapper before when he's being contested. He's probably not as strong at the back end. That was the case when Invincible Caviar beat him. He was on speed with her, had a bit of a tussle. She ran away from him, albeit a decent pull in the weights. But the run before that in the Grand Handicap where him and Najim Sahail were on speed, but they were wide apart. He sort of had control of his momentum in that race, and there wasn't a lot of eyeball pressure. The eyeball pressure factor, I think, is one of the most underestimated things in racing when you're doing that form, and it just gets them working that little bit harder within themselves, even though they're working hard setting the speed. So, he's certainly a horse that's susceptible to that pressure, and definitely there are horses that if they get their own way, they're much better than if they are, in a bit of a duel.
How do you see the Australia Stakes, Brad?
Yeah, well, just on Snapper, he was a horse that had crafted a reputation as a Moonee Valley specialist pretty much over even shorter trips at those night meetings, just by bouncing out, finding the fence and running his rivals ragged. And then he sort of developed that ability to win away from the Valley in the past few months with a couple of wins at Flemington, including the Standish, but it didn't get his own way yesterday. I thought it was advantage Snapper as soon as the gates opened, and he seemed to jump a length quicker than Jigsaw, but you could just see that John McNeil knows that he's a horse he didn't really want to get fired up, so he didn't want to use him any more than necessary to find the fence, and he wasn't able to do that. And then from that point on, the roles were well and truly reversed, and it was advantage Jigsaw. He was very good. At the 400 metres, Churath was the horse that you wanted to be on. Looked like it was absolutely smoking the pipe and going to be going straight past them, because there was a doubt about Jigsaw at that trip at weight for age with that sort of weight. But a telling factor out of the sectionals is that even though Churath had had that much easier run, looked poised to maybe run over the top of him, Jigsaw was able to pull out the fastest last 400 and last 200 metres of the race. So even though he's done that work early, he was still strong late. So no doubt about him running 1,200 metres. And I know the talk now is the William Reid Stakes and potentially the Oakley Plate. But on the strength of that performance, you wouldn't rule out him running 1,400 metres. And a race like the Rupert Clark around Caulfield, where it can be an advantage to be right up on speed, that might be something that they've got at their disposal if they're looking for options a few months down the track as well. So he just keeps ticking all the boxes and elevating himself when the question is asked. So it's been a fantastic job by Cindy Alderson and all the team there. It's great to see a horse who looked like he was going to be a star as a younger horse, then went off the rails a little bit, but he's now come back and reinvented himself and adding more strings to his bow. So all honours there with him out of the main race there yesterday at Moonee Valley. I said Churath looked like it was going to run over the top, but no disappointment at all from the performance there. Was first up, going to take great benefit from the run, probably better out to 1,400 metres as well. Calypso Rain had its chance, just no match for the first two home. Snapper did get a little bit keen as well, just while Joel was trying to restrain him, but I wouldn't be sacking him if you can find a scenario where he's going to get things more to his own way. And just a couple of those that finished down the track. Another jury outrun from Western Empire, so not sure what to make of him. Ironclad probably found them just a little bit too sharp coming off those runs over longer trips over in Western Australia, but still a little bit disappointing. And Superstorm, I thought, was quite plain, but was first up for a long, long time. So probably going to take benefit from the run. You wouldn't completely sack it off that, just given that has been off the scene for a long time, but probably want to see more next time out.
from the stewards' report, Jai McNeil, regarding Snapper, said he was only even to the finish, was disappointed with the overall performance, nothing from a post-race veterinary examination. Back to the top of the card, the Cirque, he's done a great job with Eaton. He's been a terrific horse for Connections and the stable, and T.O. Nugent produced a pearl to open the card.
They come towards the bend, and Extra Elusive went straight past Sound. Eaton's now starting to make some ground with Soleil Nuage. Princess Rainey C. Marie. Swords Drawn's back last of all, and he's going to have to dash quickly. Favourite looking very ordinary on the bend, and Eaton struck the front. Well, Eaton, he was supposed to be ridden back in the field, and he's dashed away. He's two in front of Soleil Nuage. C. Marie battling away now on the outside as Swords Drawn, but Eaton has stolen a march. It's a boil over in the first, $61, and Eaton is going to win like a two-zone favourite by five lengths.
Well, from the stewards' report, Eaton changed of tactics, intention to lead, but settled midfield after having insufficient early speed to settle more forward. I was keen on Swords Drawn, Brad. He won one race, but there was another race that Eaton was in, and Eaton was better than the entire opposition, and Swords Drawn was able to win the race for the others. What did you make of this performance of Eaton?
Yeah, there was several of the leading fancies just found themselves in horrible spots at points of the race, and Eaton, contrast, he just found himself in the right spot. T.O. Nugent was able to flow when he wanted to, get going into the race when he wanted to, and while we're making excuses for a few of the beaten brigade, the horse still did win by five lengths. He was a $61 chance, and it just worked out absolutely perfectly for him. So you can mount cases to suggest that Swords Drawn was unlucky, which he was, and Princess Rainey's was also very unlucky, but I don't think we want to completely take away from the performance there of Eaton, who was a big winner, and well done to anyone that got some of that. He started $61, but he only paid $38 or something like that on the tote. So there's some people out there that that didn't mind him, so well done to them. Just on the beaten brigade, it was an ugly watch if you were on Swords Drawn. Just Celine Gaudrey just poking up on the inside of C. Marie as the horses went out of that straight the first time. It just never really worked out for her from that point on. Obviously wanted to get rolling a little bit earlier, but did hit the line nicely once got into the clear as the race was all over and Eaton had been off and gone. But I think the run of the race was definitely Princess Rainey's. Her effort to finish third after all of the early work she did and doing it out three wide with no cover was... there was plenty of merit in the performance there. We spoke about her a few weeks back, just being tucked in behind them and picking the right gaps when they come and charging through and hitting the line. Thought she might have been a little bit lucky the way that race unfolded for her, but the performance yesterday just went to show that she's actually going quite well and she's a horse that I can follow out of that first race.
Brendan C. Marie's pulled up lame in the near foreleg. The stewards had a chat to Celine Gaudrey. She was advised to settle the gelding at the rear, and then there was some issues just gaining clear galloping room at the time. But I think Brad makes a point. I mean, you could say that Swords Drawn, perhaps Princess Rani's were a touch unlucky, but I think all that means is they might have finished a bit closer to Eaton rather than beating him. That was a dominant performance to my eye. How do you see it?
Yep, I don't think they would have really troubled him, but you would have thought early part of the race, Celine Gaudrey would have been quite happy with the tempo they really rolled at, particularly round to the winning post on the first occasion. They weren't sort of messing around with Extra Elusive Sound and Princess Rani's really forcing that pace up out three deep. I don't think Craig Williams will be on the Christmas card list of Princess Rani's because he was the one that really forced Carlene Heffel's hand to race three deep through that first half of the race when Craig could have easily dropped down onto the fence. He sat off, left Princess Rani's working out deep, and she was super brave to keep going, and she's probably better ridden the way we've seen her at Flemington, back off a hot speed with one run, so really taking her out of the race. Eaton, he's done a good job. I couldn't find him there yesterday, but clear error, momentum are massive at the back end of staying races, and he was one horse that had that from about the 600 metres onwards. Swords Drawn, you can be forgiving, but it was just about on the back of Eaton with about 600 metres to go and a little flat-footer when Eaton was really coming with his run. So there's a race in Swords Drawn. Will we see him go around, at a short quote? Maybe not three, maybe around that $3 quote again, but you wouldn't like to back him at anything shorter. Soleil Nuage, I think was very disappointing. Every chance behind, continues to run consistent placings, but just can't win. Never Again, I'm a little bit forgiving of, got stuck back on the inside. It was okay to the line at the back end, but was just strung up on the fence when runs needed to be made. And Extra Elusive Sound, disappointing out the back. See Marie had her excuses there, but I'm still not sold on her running out 2,500 metres. But T.O. Nugent was making hay while the sun was shining, and he put the punters on the deck early. And just one more thing, Warren, Brad, did you get any runs yesterday?
Yes, well, this it was in the lead-up to this race. I think Brendan, I was hearing you having a chat to the guys about how you'd pulled all these moves to get out of having to play cricket yesterday, and I was thinking that I was as smart as you, or I was good as that at that as you, because I wasn't really looking forward to it, having to make the trek over from the Kyneton, where the under-15 Bees played for Wallen, to get all the way over to Ainsbury. But it was worthwhile. The Wallen thirds had a win, so we remain in finals contention. And I didn't fail for about the first time in about four hits.
Well, you've got to put a number on it now, Brad.
A 69, Warren, was what we got to. And then fatigue started to set in. So then I had to seek refuge and have a cool drink on the sidelines.
Well played. Noted in the stewards' report in race two that Fighting Arrow was slowly away, which is quite normal for him. Somehow Blake Shin quickly reacted to get him in a good spot in what was one of Blake's terrific rides yesterday at the Valley.
Near the corner, Bull Bourbon in front of Q's, and here's Fighting Arrow. He's on the scene with a well-timed run, getting up on the fence. Mark Holt, he's looking for the inside runner. There's not much room. He's pushing through, Mark Holt. He's going to get right up on the fence and hit the lead with Fighting Arrow. Bull Bourbon still there. Mark Holt on the fence. Fighting Arrow. Mark Holt, Fighting Arrow with Bull Bourbon. It's Fighting Arrow on the outside, and Mark Holt, they hit it. Oh, that's tight. Mark Holt, Fighting Arrow, Fighting Arrow, Mark Holt. I'm not sure.
Well, I think two of the better rides, one of the better winning rides and one of the better losing rides of the day yesterday, Fighting Arrow, Mark Colt. Brendan, how'd you see this one?
I could make a case that all three, first three across the line, Warren, were quite good rides. Harry Coffey was probably only a pimple off being ride of the day on Mark Holt, and Jared Fry wasn't far off the way he rated them on Bull Bourbon either. Three very good rides, but Fighting Arrow, we spoke yesterday on the coverage with Nick Noon and the ability of Blake Shin just to get horses out of the barriers. It's not a trait that every rider has, but he was able to get Fighting Arrow out and cajole him into a position early. Once he had that position, he was going to get his chance, and it's much easier to try and stake your claim from the 1-1 than it is from six or seven back in the running line. He had to be tough yesterday. Mark Holt was taking the shortcuts. Blake Shin got the best out of him. Good win. He deserved to win a race the way he'd been going. Mark Holt, another one that had been getting back. Harry Coffey bounced him out, put him on the speed, snuck up the fence underneath of Jared Fry on the turn, just missed. He's going really nicely. Bull Bourbon was well rated in front. He was in for the fight. Just two horses that had softer runs behind him were able to pick him up. I thought Accused battled on well. Liberated Girl was really tough after covering ground. Confrontational, his usual effort. Wygate off a slow tempo was against him. He's run on well. Glenn Tanius is a horse that I don't want to drop off, having his, he's only in the infancy of his Australian career. He followed the speed, just got a little bit keen with that slow tempo early. Little bit out-sprinted from the 400, but he wasn't giving it away inside the last 200. He stuck to his guns, and he was going on through the line okay. I think he's a horse maybe to Flemington or Sandown off a bit stronger tempo, maybe a little bit further. He's a horse that you could see winning in the not-too-distant future. And Commando Drift wasn't a bad run on the speed there at Flemington. Got back and was in all sorts of traffic behind Hard Squeeze and also Jamie Carr's ride, Liberated Girl. So a little bit of a give run there, but three really good rides and one of a few from Blake Shin yesterday.
Your thoughts here, Brad?
Dominated by those horses on speed. The first four in the run were the first four home, and I guess that underlined the importance of Blake Shin's ability to get Fighting Arrow to settle that little bit closer than normal. There was also a point there just passing the winning post the first time where it looked like he might get pushed down onto the fence, which really would have changed the complexion of the race from his point of view, but he just has an ability to find the right spot in the run, Blake, and was able to hold his position there. And that was crucial because as the race was hotting up, he was able to get rolling when he wanted to. Mark Holt, not necessarily. Harry Coffey just had to wait for a few strides there for that run to come. And even though He was held up there while waiting for that run. He burst through it and he did hit the front, so he did have his opportunity. So it's hard to make a case against him being unlucky against Fighting Arrow. So a deserved winner there for Fighting Arrow and Chris Calthorpe. Well, Bourbon boxed on okay. I thought Accused was the same. Liberated Girl was the unlucky runner, three wide the trip, but was still the eye catcher of those that were outside the placing. So it's hard to mount a case to suggest anything that finished alongside her or behind was a hard luck story compared to her. But Hard Squeeze did seem a little bit keen in the first half of the race and was hampered in that final 100 metres or so. So maybe there is a little forgive factor there as well for Hard Squeeze. The one that was disappointing, I had something on Black Queen. I thought she was quite good first up. Thought we'd seen improved showing again yesterday, but she was quite disappointing. And I did note in the stewards report that Michael D was disappointed in the performance, and she did get vetted and there were no abnormalities.
No, the stewards are going to follow up there with Black Queen. I love the way Blake's in now, knowing this horse, just got to work on him perhaps a little bit earlier than he would have on a normal horse at the stage of the race, knowing that he hits a bit of a flat spot, trying to work through that before the pressure went on. He was just at his absolute best at the Valley yesterday, Blake Shin. In the next race, he was aboard No Secret for Mike Moroney.
Behind Dane on Tour, the leaders left the fence, and Ollie said, thank you very much. Dane on Tour went to the front. No Secret will be the challenger if it can get out. Tubby Two Track sticks on, and then came Electric Bell. Dane on Tour, the leader, No Secret's off the fence challenging. No Secret raced up at the 200 and hit the lead from Dane on Tour. Electric Bell running on, but No Secret, the doors opened up as they turned the corner, and No Secret is racing away for victory. Bolted in, wins by 3.5 by Rock Alley. Got going.
Oh, I think that the stable, Mike Moroney and a few others, were wondering where that New Zealand form had gone for No Secret. Blinkers went on yesterday. Brad, how did you see the win?
I worked out absolutely beautifully for No Secret. Terry Bailey mentioned in the call that Ollie said thank you very much, and then I think behind him was Blake Shin saying thank you very much as well, because that was going to carve a path. You just had a feeling those gaps were going to come in enough time for No Secret, and her strength was going to come to the fore over the concluding stages, because while the gap did come for Ollie, I don't think that horse was travelling well enough to really capitalise on that. In contrast, No Secret just behind was absolutely smoking the pipe, and you could tell from a long way out that that was going to be the horse to beat if the gaps did come, which they did. But was probably a little bit hard to take for those that were on at the $1.50 when she got beaten in the 64 last time out at Maui, but that was a better example of her ability. First win in Australia, but she's now 3 from 10. And we've seen Mike Moroney do some great things with these mares coming over from New Zealand. I'm not suggesting that No Secret's going to go on and reach the heights of Tafani or Rockin' Horse or any of these sort of horses, but they just, even though it's only New Zealand, they can take a little while to acclimatise. She looks like she's doing that, so I'd be surprised if there's not some more wins in store for No Secret going forward. My Rock Alley probably finished a little bit closer, if not held up, rounding the home turn, but would have never beaten the winner. While all those horses were darting up on the inside when Tubby Two Tracks was losing his compass rounding the home turn, Electric Bell was the horse that wasn't able to get inside Tubby Two Tracks and had to go around and make a sweeping run. So I think the run of Electric Bell was a lot better than it does look on paper. And Tubby, it was just a forgettable day for him and Alice Wong, who suggested he didn't really like the track, but also I noted in the stewards report that he pulled up with some sort of throat issue, so that might be a telling factor there, Tubby Two Tracks. And Strawberry Moon was quite ordinary, well beaten, and the connections are going to send Strawberry Moon off for a spell.
Looking at the stewards report for Tubby Two Tracks, Alice Wong said the horse failed to handle the tight left-turning track. And as Brad mentioned, there was some type of throat condition identified there, a veterinary clearance prior to racing again. How'd you see this one, Brendan?
Blinkers are a wonderful thing, Warren, is how I seen it at the back end, because you couldn't have her off what we seen at Maui behind Red Stiletto. Even the chase wasn't encouraging into second money there to encourage you to try and back her here yesterday. But interesting that when we get the full sectional breakdown of this race, is going to be the speed that they've gone early. first four in running at halfway, last four across the line. And just maybe the fact that they've overdone it through the early part of the race was also a help for No Secret to find a bit of a rhythm off the back of a good tempo. She followed Ollie through. Ollie got a gift up the fence and couldn't go on with it. And No Secret, Blake Shin, just steered her through. Hardly got her out of second gear to win. She's a different horse with a set of shades on. My Ali Rocks run really well. She had time between runs from her run at Werribee. We've seen her run well off similar breaks before, but you would think she could really bounce off that. She was left marking time at a vital stage between the 350 and the 250. Electric Bell, she's made the wide looping run. She's probably better suited to bigger tracks like Bendigo and Sandown Hillside, where we've seen her win recently. So that was a commendable performance for her around Moonee Valley. And then Dane on tour. I don't think we'll have many fans after yesterday, after the run, that he did get back to the inside. Tubby Two Tracks has excuses. Belly Nora three deep, and it looks like they've rolled pretty solidly early, so maybe a forgive run there. And Strawberry Moon was making a pretty big step up in grade from a couple of 58 wins, so maybe a combination of that and the tempo just against Strawberry Moon. But No Secret, the secret was the blinkers, Warren.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the look of My Rock Alley in the yard. I think Maddie Williams has got her in great order. That fresh run that the boys have outlined was encouraging. I think she's in for a good prep, My Rock Alley, out of race three at the Valley yesterday. Small field in race four, over 1,000 metres. There was strong support for Commander Prove from Maddie Smith.
Bistro, Commander Prove got a neck in front, a half in front of Bistro. Fission starting to run on. Clarity needs room. Commander Prove swings in front. Bistro the first to clack. Fission moves up on the outside. Fission went straight past Commander Prove. Clarity's getting out and running on. Fission darted away. Clarity running on strongly. Fission tying up near the last 50 metres, but he'll win it. Fission has won, but Clarity could have made it very interesting if she...
Small field, entertaining race, and some notes from the stewards' report worth mentioning. Brendan, firstly, we'll just get your take on the race.
Well, coming to the gap, you thought probably how far Commander Prove. The money was right there. He was heavily, heavily back late. And in contrast, Bistro was a big drifter, as Bistro was when it was able to win at Sandown. But it was on the cards that Fission was going to be able to do it. But as Robbie touched on earlier and Nick Noonan alluded to from the mounting yard there yesterday, he could be quite a handful. And he was probably putting on one of his better shows there yesterday. But maybe the naughtier he is, the better he runs, because he had been promising to win a race, and he got a good situation to win there yesterday, fast speed in front of him, and he just had enough in hand late. In saying that, Clarity gets the room. I think Clarity probably wins the race in the run to the turn. Just needed that break, and it didn't come. Commander Proved probably a bit disappointing, but that eyeball pressure from Bistro, they really went toe-to-toe with each other. They were putting up just some even time on the clock, according to the data we're seeing flashed up on the screen throughout the race. But in saying that, they were really working against each other, and Commander Proved seemed to be travelling well enough, but just ran out of gas, and Bistro was disappointing, and probably it was there in the market price that she wasn't going to be up to A1 status there yesterday. But the two horses behind had a good tie for a good gallop, and they were the stronger late. Fission got the money, but Clarity should have won.
How do you see this race, Brad?
Yeah, in total agreement there with Brendan on the result of the race. I think you switch the position of the two horses where they settled just behind those two leaders, and I think you switch the result of the race. Fission was able to just roll into it, build momentum when needed. Clarity held up, had to find a path, even though it was only a field of four, and then still got as close as what it did. So there was plenty of merit there to the performance of Clarity. A deserved win, though, for Fission, because it's been some good runs this preparation. Loves the Valley too. That's five starts, two wins, two seconds and a fourth. So there might be some good opportunities for Clarity over the next few months with quite a bit of night racing there at the Valley on Friday nights. Complete opposite for Bistro, though, to what we saw first up at Sandown when pinged out, found the fence and really exploded away early in the straight. I wouldn't have been shocked if there was some sort of issue, because she's known as a bit of a speed horse, a 1,000-metre speed horse, which is what we saw at Sandown. Complete contrast yesterday, and has come out of the race with a couple of excuses, slow recovery and lame in one leg. So there might be some sort of forgive there, but I'm still not sure whether the Hayes Stakes in a couple of weeks might be the race that we see her go to next, because that was what was touted after that first up win at Sandown. And I'm not too sure where we go with Command Approved. As Brendan mentioned, very heavily backed, but quite disappointing.
Quite a handful, this fish, and so well handled by Ethan Brown. And I think he was well aware Blake McDougall was travelling well back to the inside. You can see Ethan just trying to keep things as tight as possible around the turn into the home straight to just potentially disadvantage Clarity and steal a march on Fishing. Good competition, good rider. I think Clarity, a horse to follow out of the meeting. Mamaragan was having its first run for the Nick Ryan stable. Had Blake Shin aboard. Wide barrier draw over 1,000 in race 5.
In touch and Bifrost. Mama Regan travels up outside Glenferrie Girl near the bend. Got a neck, got a half in front. A length and a half, Lloyd's Crown. On the fence behind those, not enough effort. Jean Valjean needs to pick up. Bifrost needs room. On the bend, Mama Regan sped to the front. Got a length, Glenferrie Girl. Lloyd's Crown staying on. Further back, Stay in Touch running on. Mama Regan, the front runner. Lloyd's Crown has been consistent, chipping away, but Mama Regan's in front. No dangers for Mama Regan's going to win. Jean Valjean got up late to run.
What do you make of this win, first run for the stable, Brad?
I learned that we've got another interpretation of the way this horse's name is meant to be pronounced. I still have no idea what the right way to go is. There was Mama Regan early in its career. Mama Regan. Terry's gone with Mama Regan. It's a really interesting one that a horse has had so many interpretations of the way that you say its name. But the main thing that everyone's going to be happy about with those that are associated with that, for the first time since debut, it's able to get into the winner's stall. I didn't think we'd sort of see this horse running around in these sort of races 3 years on from a win in the Skyline Stakes, then third in the Slipper and the Sires. Did come back as a three-year-old and run third in a San Domenico, but just sort of lost its way a little bit. And what we've seen so often with Nick Ryan over the last 12 months or so is his ability just to rejuvenate these horses and get them to really perform at their first run for him. This was another one. Really good ride from Blake Shin. He takes control of races when they're there to be taken control of. That's what he did here. And what I liked about the ride as well, he wasn't keen to be dictated to by the leader's speed. What you can often see is jockeys, they just want to sit, if they're outside the leader, they just want to sit a neck or a half a length outside the lead, and it's the lead horse that dictates the pace of the race. But Blake knew he was going a lot better than Glenferrie Girl, so even he was happy to sit half a length in front of that horse and just kept his horse going and its momentum going. And that was important because we saw a few emerge late. I'm not sure there were too many hard luck stories behind that would have suggested they could have beaten home Mama Regan. But Jean Valjean was very good, hit the line nicely. Lloyd's Crown boxed on okay after over racing early. I think that was a little bit detrimental to its chances in the early stages. And Bifrost was one who was held up at stages in the straight and did hit the line nicely. Once again, not suggesting it would have beaten the winner, but there was merit in the performance there. Not enough effort, just got a little bit keen once he got crossed by Glenferrie Girl, and then was also held up at stages when the race was hotting up. So I think not enough efforts run was a little bit better than it appeared on paper. And Aminatu just ran into a few dead ends and did pull up with an issue, I think, out of the race. So maybe a forgive there for Aminatu. But well done to Nick Ryan, Blake Shin, and all the team associated with Mama Regan.
Yeah, blood out of one nostril for Aminatu. We'll have to gallop over 1,000 metres in the presence of a steward. Brendan, what did you make of the win of the horse that's had 21 starts and there's 21 different ways to pronounce his name?
Well, as long as he's called a winner and you're on him, I think everyone will be happy that's associated with him. I think it was just Nick Ryan might have just recalibrated him as a horse, gone back to basics possibly, and just got him feeling good again. And he won like a horse that's got a bit of class about him there yesterday. Really forced the issue to Glenferrie Girl a fair way out. But I think there's a fair discrepancy in their class. He's a handy little filly, Glenferrie Girl. But if this guy's right, you could see him taking on much better races than a benchmark 70. I think with a bit of confidence under his belt, he was quite dominant there yesterday. And another good ride from Blake Shim. Jean Valjean was good, closing off really solid from midfield. Lloyd's Crown was a better run than what we've seen fresh up there at Sandown on Boxing Day. Did have a jump out between, but that was a much better effort from Lloyd's Crown. Bifrost is getting close to really to winning another race, but he's just got to get the start right and get himself a length or so closer in the run. He was running out of room there yesterday. Would he won the race with clear room? No, but he might have finished a length or so closer than what he did, but he's not far away. He's just going to need some luck. Not enough effort need to see him win a race before I'm going to side with him. Glenferrie Girl, she's a 64. She's eligible to drop back to something much easier than taking on a Group 2 winner there yesterday. She'll drop back to a night meeting and won't be far off. Stay in Touch, closed off well, but I think better suited on a bigger track. And Anamatu, no luck when it needed it back on the inside, but was having a drop back from 1,400 to 1,000, maybe under lights in a 64. After the gallop to Stewart's satisfaction, we might see Amanatu around the money again. But he's had class. He's shown that he's got class, and he recaptured a little bit of it there yesterday, the winner.
Excited scenes in the winner's enclosure. Nita Frawley, a big team involved with Danny St. Darcy, and a link to the late, great Danny Frawley. Celine Gaudray produced a perler in race 6 at the Valley yesterday.
Natalina, Danny St. Darcy needing room, Luna Cat about to come out, travelling okay. Croatia with its back from I'm Divined, and two lengths away is Lady Hampton. Snappy Little Thing front runner coming to the bend from Little Miss Kirby. Gee, Luna Cat's cantered up with Croatia. They've got the two leaders quickly. Running on then is I'm Divine as they turn. Luna Cat's travel well. Hits the front from Little Miss Kirby and running on Croatia. Luna Cat went for home and shot away. Little Miss Kirby tries to go with her. It's Luna Cat from Little Miss Kirby. She's coming back the inside. Danny St. Darcy is flying home on the outside. Will beat them all. Danny St. Darcy lunging and got up final stride. Second Little Miss Kirby and those.
Well, he's a man of many talents, Terry Bailey. Brendan, I hope he wasn't betting in the run in that race yesterday.
Geez, when he said Danny St. Darcy has got him, I thought, oh, geez, Little Miss Kirby's got something to say about that on the inside. And Luna Cat was boxing on there, but Celine Gaudray just had to wait on the turn. Was a reasonable enough tempo from Snappy Little Thing who dropped out, and Celine just had to take her medicine, wait for a cracker, and through she went. A horse that really raced as well at Moonee Valley. Took some pretty serious scalps winning there at Warrnambool as well. Rio Yuki and Harbin, she was able to beat both of them, although Harbin probably wasn't at his best there at the Bull. He's come out and run well since in town, so bit of a form franker there. Luna Cat, really disappointing for mine. Had the perfect run behind, top of the straight, thought, well, she's just going to go on and win the race, and only just got the upper hand from Little Miss Kirby, who I think's a little bit suspect back end of 1,200 metres this stage of her career. Lady Hampton's done a good job from the back. Croatia got it wrong, followed Luna Cat, but got far too keen in the middle stages of the race to allow her to finish off the race. I'm Divine. Probably could have finished a little bit closer, but just wouldn't go straight in the end, and the other two were disappointing. But Danny St. Darcy, patience from Celine Gaudray. She's riding really well at the moment. She's getting some good opportunities. She's making the most of it, and she came with a well-timed run there.
Your take here, Brad?
Yeah, Celine Gaudray would have been having visions of the first race, I think, there in at points of that event. It was a much shorter race, but once again, she was sort of stuck back on the fence and no doubt following a horse she didn't really want to be behind in Snappy Little Thing. But it just worked out for her beautifully as the race was evolving, and she was able to put Danny St. Darcy in the right spots. And when she really wanted to push the button, that gap came. And I think the best horse in the race showed the best turn of foot and went on and won. She's got a great record, 6 from 16, loves Moonee Valley as well, has run well in some better races than what she was in yesterday at Moonee Valley. So once again, there could be some good opportunities for Danny St. Darcy. As you touched on, Warren, it's a great story with the group involved. So it's great to see that they've got a good horse and one that looks like it might be able to go on and achieve some good things throughout its career. Luna Cat, very disappointing. I'm not sure whether it was Luna Cat just waiting for Little Miss Kirby to kick back or Little Miss Kirby actually rallying, but those two looked like they were going to had their opportunities to fight out the race, but were no match for Danny St. Darcy. And Lady Hampton, I thought, was good from the back after having to hook around the field as well. So a bit of merit there to the performance of Lady Hampton. And Donald Natalina might be a forgive run. Did race 3 wide and pulled up with a slow recovery, so that might explain why she was a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, also a slow recovery noted for Curatia in that race. Race 8, Mick Hughland, second up with Kentucky Casanova. He took the winkers off, dropped in grade, took a claim for Laura Lafferty.
They were being followed back in the field by Big Apple and Surreal Rising coming up towards the bend. The favourites in a pocket here, Exeter, because going up on the outside is Winsome to lock him up. Coming to the bend, Kentucky Casanova in front, Lumber Punk after him. Deep Speed needs a run, Magnum Bullet called upon, Exeter no room. Now he's getting out and Brenlin's Trooper making ground. They come towards the bend. Kentucky Casanova kicked away, a length and a half, Lumber Punk off the fence. Deep Speed not doing enough at the moment, Exeter, but he's trying to wind up. Kentucky Casanova in front, and he's home. Kentucky Casanova races away the last little bit.
I didn't hear the full commentary, but a tongue-in-cheek here, maybe the pre-race and the post-race comments from Terry Bailey. Can someone ask him what he really thinks of Exeter? I didn't necessarily hear the comments that TB was referring, or they're referring to there with TB, but he does wear his heart in his sleeve. Brad, what did you make of this race?
Very entertaining, and it was something along the lines of the punters might have had enough of Exeter, and the thing about that, though, is I think there was another semi-excuse yesterday, because Damien Oliver had done a beautiful job in being able to get him away from the inside early in the race. He was following a horse, Magnum Bullet, who, well, it was not like he was a 50-to-1 shot. You would have expected Magnum Bullet would have taken you into the race a lot further than what he actually did. But just at the time that Ollie wanted to keep that momentum rolling aboard Exeter, Magnum Bullet was really going nowhere and he was only holding his ground. So that resulted in those that were up on the speed being able to just steal a bit of a march on Exeter. I'm not suggesting that he would have won the race if he had got going earlier, but it certainly was detrimental to his chances and he certainly would have finished closer had that been able to be the case. So there might just be enough of an excuse for TB, when he does have a look at the replay, he might give Exeter one more chance. But there was merit to the run, even though he was beaten as favourite. I love the aggressive early ride from Laura Lafferty. It was important in the end because the first two in the run were the first two home. Mick Hughland does a great job with his team as well. Fantastic to see him with the Saturday winner. These sort of opportunities, they dry up for horses like Kentucky Casanova over the next few months. So he had an opportunity to win a race like this yesterday and did so well. So well done to Mick and everyone that is associated with the team there. Kentucky Casanova, who was good after a disappointing run first up. And Brenlin's Trooper was a very good run as well, scooting along the inside. Peeled off the fastest last 1,800, 600, 400 and 200 metres of the race. And the rest behind pretty much just held their formation. So Brenlin's Trooper was one at a bit of a price, who might be a tick there. And if they can find a similar race, might be able to be some sort of chance.
Your thoughts here, Brendan?
You can have Exeter all day long for mine. He went in the naughty book the night he got beat at Cranbourne second up, and I think Terry might have said he's got a few balaclavas that he likes to wear, and he was okay there yesterday, but I need to see him put them away before I'm going to be in his corner again. We seen the proper Kentucky Casanova yesterday. He was really disappointing when he went down the straight there on the 14th of January. But as you touched on, Warren, a little gear change, comes back in grey. Got a good ride on the speed from Laura Lafferty. I thought was good. Lumber Punk's run well again off the back of that really solid win at Terang. Exeter into third. Brendan's Trooper, as Brad's touched on, good run up the inside. He's a horse that maybe out to 1,500 metres under lights in a week or so. Might be a horse that is going to bob up again. He's just really consistent and he's tough. Thought Deep Speed held his ground okay. Magnum Bullet was brave after sitting three deep. He was entitled to get a lot beat a lot further than what he did. If you want to take his run into account with Exeter, Exeter had a beautiful run midfield. Magnum Bullet sat three deep the trip. He's only beaten him home a length. Extreme Step was just okay. A horse that I've got a bit of time for, he just needs to get his barrier manners right, is Sorrel Rising. He walked out of the gates again yesterday. I'm sure there's a motor in there, but if they can get his barrier manners right, I thought he was working through the line really nicely after having to loop the entire field there yesterday. He might be one that, once they iron out the little barrier issues with him, will win a race in the not-too-distant future.
Another horse that can be a little bit hard work getting out on the track is Rambler Rebel. Michelle Payne, Stevie Payne on course yesterday. Their efforts were well rewarded. Another win for Ethan Brown, and Jeff via the SMS was also well rewarded. He found a front runner and with the scratching of He's Exceptional, he thought Rambler Rebel might be hard to run down.
got plenty to give, but he's got six lengths to make up as Rambler Rebel is well clear, straightening up, going after him. Netanyahu, shove over, getting into the clear Ward's fold. Rambler Rebel, two or three in front, trying desperately as Netanyahu. Rambler Rebel is powering away. He's going to go all the way and destroy them. Rambler Rebel wins. Ward's fold got up second and knows in front of Netanyahu.
Well, I heard you on the post-race summary of this race, Brendan. Perhaps we were overlooking the obvious with Rambler Rebel leading all the way at the Valley.
It was exactly the same as what he did Christmas Eve, wasn't it? Got out, rolled, just kept on rolling, and he seemed to be a happy horse when he gets in that situation, and he was really good late. Ethan Brown rates him to a nicety again, and he was really full of running at the top of the straight, and it was probably evident coming past the school that they were going to have to get their skates on, or he was going to have to stop pretty quickly if they were going to beat him. He's in good form. Warsfold, you just can't give away that sort of a start. At Mooney Valley, you might be able to do it hillside sand down and work through your gears and run horses down, but he just got into a tricky spot, worse than midfield, horses all around him. I think he's a much better horse on bigger tracks. Flemington or Sandown or the like. There's similar circumstances to his only run at Mooney Valley prior to that, where he's beaten by Mr. Brightside. He got back, got in traffic, dashed home late, but it was all too late. Thought Netanyahu did well, but had the run to run well. Monarch of Egypt runs well again. Alvedon, you'll be thinking, is just about cherry ripe, third up, ridden a bit closer there yesterday to a rolling gallop. You'd think he could go to sort of a peak third up, shove over okay, but then there's a host of horses that had no luck. Three of them in particular, Lyrical Lad, never got out. He'll be ready to go third up, you would think, next time. Seriously, Azon, you would think, is getting close. He walked out of the barriers, got himself into an awkward spot back on the inside, but never saw daylight. And Nor High Approach coming to the turn. The horse Love and Last stripped straight into his lap on the fence, and he could just never get into clear air after that. Rambler Rebel's done well. Michelle Payne led Rambler Rebel around to the barriers, Warren. I think it might have been a Fian where there was a Japanese runner. They tried to lead him to the gates with two handlers and a lead rope, and they got stopped there going back a fair while ago now. But Michelle Payne was allowed, I don't know, she was allowed to lead it all the way to the gates, but Rambler Rebel got there anyway, and when he got there, he put his best foot forward.
We're due a break. We've got to look at some interstate races, Brendan, but just one via the SMS. Do you think there was a leader bias at the Valley yesterday?
Not really. Tempo probably suggests that there wasn't. You go to Fishin, made ground from the back, was able to run over the top of them. Kentucky Casanova got a soft lead. Danny St. Darcy worked through nearer the inside. Jigsaw was too fast for them. The Marigan sat on speed, but they didn't seem to go overly fast. Fighting Arrows race was a slowly run race, and no secret, a fast run race went through nearer the inside. Probably wasn't advantageous to put in the looping run, but I think tempo played a big part in the way the races finished there yesterday.
Brad, a quick word there on the track and your thoughts on the last.
Yeah, exactly right. The horses that were able to put themselves up there, they've used extra energy to get up there. And as he mentioned, it was, as Brendan just mentioned there, not the day to be really looping around them, but I wouldn't say it was a screaming leaders track, which we've seen at Mooney Valley in the past on occasion. So it was advantageous to those horses that are able to demonstrate that they can put themselves in a position, but that certainly wasn't the only reason they won those races. Just on the last, wouldn't you love to own Rambler Rebel? He's won seven races, four of them since joining Michelle Payne, and the prices he's been, $21, $15, $61 and $26. And the last two of those have been at Mooney Valley, so I'm sure the connections are cashed up there. Well done to them. And he's not going to be underestimated at Mooney Valley races anymore, I don't think, on what we've seen those previous two starts. And we've sung the praises of Blake Shin all throughout this episode today, but Ethan Brown needs a pat on the back as well for his efforts. He was great on Fishin earlier on, coming from behind in that small field over 1,000 metres, and then yesterday doing it out from the front. Just let his horse roll along. Brendan touched on a lot of unlucky runners or horses that weren't necessarily suited, but if you do what Ethan Brown did yesterday on Rambler Rebel, you take a lot of that out of the equation.
6 to 10 on RSN 927. Quick break. We'll look at interstate racing after this.
turn. Kahawati, much, much better turn the corner together. Forbidden Love, just summing up the options, goes back to the inside. There's a stack of room. Maria Mia gets going, and here comes the gun called Golden Mile. Maria Mia takes the lead. Golden Mile's a half length away, a length now. Maria Mia's going strongly. Maria Mia kicking away, and here we go again. The New Haven mare's way too good. Maria Mia goes on to win the Expressway Stakes.
Yeah, form through Spacewalk. Late nom for the race, Brendan, but always love talking to Joe Pride. You get such a great insight into the way he operates, Joe Pride. What a great trainer he is. And Maria Mia takes out the Expressway. How do you see it?
A Friday night sort of grade horse when she was here in Victoria, and she's really taken it to the next level. She got a lovely run in the 1-1 off a favourable gallop, and I thought she was good. Golden Mile, I'm sure they won't be disappointed with his work late. I thought he was solid, and Nicolini Vito had it up against from the back. I thought he closed off nicely. Forbidden Love disappointing in behind, but just love how Joe Pride can turn these horses around. Seen him do it with a pretty fast horse in Eduardo, get a horse that, you know, of reasonable ability, but really excel their ability when they go into his care.
Don't know who counts admirers, Brad, but in racing terms, Golden Mile probably lost no admirers yesterday. How'd you see the race?
Yeah, he was just okay from my point of view. Like, as you mentioned, the horse that won, Maria Mia, this wasn't necessarily on the radar for her 7 days ago. So he's not one that you can sack off that run, but I was hoping to see a little bit more from him, to be honest. He's only beaten Nicolini Vito, owned by a length and three quarters, so really keen to see what they do with him next time out. But like I say, not keen to sack, because James Cummings has a tendency to use this race for horses springboarding into their campaigns, and we did see Animo run third in this race last year, so being beaten in the Expressway certainly didn't hurt him for the remainder of the year. So I'm just interested to see what we get from Golden Mile next time out. Forbidden Love, very disappointing. She's sort of at the stage now where if it's not a wet track, you've pretty much got to put a pen through her, I think.
As we lead towards the Golden Slipper, King's Gambit went around $1.28 favourite, chasing Red Resistance in the Canterbury Stakes.
From Shinzo peeling out as they turn, and Red Resistance swings in front. Preble goes for home now, and the colt finds two lengths. King's Gambit on the inside trying to rally. Shinzo runs home on the outside. Red Resistance trying to pinch this at the 200. King's Gambit inch by inch is getting closer. It's Red Resistance in front of King's Gambit, is running out of time. Red Resistance in front, holding King's Gambit, and Red Resistance led all the way. Beat the favourite, King's Gambit.
Two for two, the form's around him holding up. Great to see Brad Preble making the most of his relocation to Sydney. Brad, what did you make of the Canterbury?
Yeah, great performance. It just shows the advantage of the Gay Waterhouse Adrian Bott regime and the way they like to attack their races, put these horses up on speed and let the others try and run you down. I thought King's Gambit didn't necessarily appreciate racing inside horses in the early stages, but the opportunity was there for it to win the race and just wasn't able to run it down. Just a little worrying trait there that the horse wanted to lay out a little bit. So not sure if there was an issue there, but we've seen the Peter and Paul Snowden camp. They have an innate ability to get their horses right for the grand final. So not sacking. I was disappointed in the performance yesterday, but prepared to give him one more go, King's Gambit. And Shinzo was okay on debut as well. Very well bred. By Schnitzel out of Samaretti, a brother to Exhilarates. That was a good debut performance for Shinzo. I'm not sure that he's right up to the top liners, but that was a platform for that horse to be able to go on and win some races throughout its career.
Brendan?
Red Resistance, typical Waterhouse Bott, early runner-up on speed, kept on running, had enough up his sleeve late. King's Gambit maybe lost a bit of glean off that that win that we did see at Caulfield, and nowhere near as breathtaking as he was that day. But as Brad's touched on, that's not grand final day, and he'll be screwed down as we get closer to the slipper.
The fillies division, the Widden Stakes, running slightly quicker time. Learning to Fly was on debut. Annabelle Neesham, Chad Schofield in the saddle.
Perfect Proposal turns in front from Learning to Fly. Perfect Proposal, Learning to Fly. Chad Schofield goes full throttle now. Cigar Flick starting to run on powerfully, and Still City still coming. It's Learning to Fly just in front. Still City looms on the outside, and Cigar Flick, three of them across the track. Learning to Fly coming back on Still City. Learning to Fly heads off Still City. Learning to Fly too strong in the Widden Stakes.
Got to love the fight she showed on debut, and obviously well-educated. What did you make of this race, Brendan?
Sure, if those dark blue were Coolmore colours, give every horse a length when they put them on, but it seems to where she was good. Favourable sort of run, close to the speed, but as you touched on, more on the fight, Steel City and Cigar Flick looked to have her cold at about the 150, but she just dug and kept on fighting. She was good. Steel City had the right run. Mumbai Muse was the eye-catcher getting home. Cigar Flick just peeking out a little bit late, but for the Tom Petty fans, looking to fly really good.
How do you see it, Brad?
Yeah, the winner, the one to take out of this race, was able to put itself up on speed and then did look under siege there at the 150-metre mark, but showed really good fighting qualities and really promising sign for one of the justifiers to be able to do that and win an 1,100-metre race this filly on debut. So much bigger things at foot down the track for Learning to Fly. It was interesting to note Tom Moore's comments from Coolmore, who you touched on earlier on, whether that is a golden slipper this time round or she just gets looked after with a view to the three-year-old filly's features. I'd be surprised if they don't have a crack at some sort of Group 1 with her this campaign, but that was the perfect start to her career and she's definitely the one to follow out of that race.
Stakes racing in Adelaide yesterday. Shimino took out the Durbridge Stakes and won via the SMS from Rhino, and the Jigsaw form line's pretty easy to tie in with Shimino. Just wondering if he could be a chance in a race like the Oakley Plate. Brendan, I'll pose that to you first of all. Following the win yesterday, would you have a throw at the stumps in a fast run Oakley Plate with Shimino?
Well, through the Jigsaw form, we have to put him into calculations, don't we? 1,100 metres a start ago at Sandown. He was fighting home, got within three quarters of a length of Jigsaw. Just left myself scratching my head that we let him go around at that sort of price yesterday with that form line that that he had next to him in the race book.
I sense a long-term futures bet coming up for Rhino. He loves one of them. Brad, how do you assess Shimino from his win yesterday? Potential Oakley Plate chance.
Yeah, well, Philip Stokes does a really good job of placing his horses, whether they deserve to be running here in Victoria or over there in South Australia. He's picked off a feature race, a listed race over in Adelaide with Shimino, so I'd be surprised if they don't raise the bar with him, and they may as well have a crack at an Oakley Plate and see you in heaven not sacking off that performance as well. I think she's a filly with quite a bit of ability, and whenever she does come back, she's worthwhile having something on, because there's not many better trainers at bringing the horses over at the right time than Richard and Chantel Jolly.
Big Sunday Central about to kick off racing at Geelong and Benalla today. Now it's time for the team's runs of the day. Horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
Following an outstanding day on the cricket field in the conditions yesterday, Brad, how do you summarise the day's racing?
Warren, you should have seen me in the field. You would not have been describing this as an outstanding day on the cricket field. Jigsaw, clearly the run of the day. He's the winner to follow out of the meeting, I think. I think there's going to be some more good wins in store for him. And Clarity, the horse to follow of those that were beaten yesterday. I know it was only a four-horse field, was unlucky not to win yesterday, and I think that's a good platform for the campaign to come.
Great work, Brad. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Looking forward to it. Thanks a lot, Warren. Thanks, Brendan.
Big day of Sunday Central coming up, and interested to get the take on the Benalla track, Brendan, and that meeting being abandoned, the last meeting they tried to run there at Benalla. What else is coming up on Sunday Central?
Ed Higgins, track manager from Benalla, is going to join us in just a moment, along with Jimmy Dalton from Geelong. Nick Noonan will join me to preview the Geelong program. Trav Noonan will go through the 10 races at Benalla. You might have to rename it the Noonan Show. First event at Healesville, 2 after 11. Jesse Gow from New Zealand Bloodstock is going to join us with all the latest from the Karaka sale. George Ferrugia with all things greyhounds. Nicole Thomas from the TAB. Tom Wood, of course, will join us as always on a Sunday morning to take us through the huge program of racing at Sha Tin this afternoon. So big couple of hours coming up. Hopefully we can find a bucket load of winners, Warren.
Yeah, and we've got that Stewards Cup Golden 60 Romantic Warrior and California Spangle, that race just after 7 o'clock. How do you wrap up yesterday?
Run of the day for mine, Jigsaw. Horse I'm going to follow, Lyrical Lad, third up. I think he can be winning next time out. Didn't have a great deal of luck yesterday. Third up, I think he'll be cherry ripe to take out the next race he steps out in.
Great work, Brendan. Looking forward to Sunday Central. Jigsaw also the run of the day for me, and I'm in sync with Brad Bishop as Clarity as the horse to follow. Takes us out for Correct Weight, Sports Update with Andrew Hughes, and Sunday Central with Brendan Delaney.